the time comes and I'm standing at the river that separates the two worlds that I love. Torn between my precious friends and family and the place of peace that's waiting up above. Hold my hand and stay there by my side. And when I finally step into the tide, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me, save my grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me home. I've spent most of my life on earth preparing to take the trip from here to heaven's throne, with the shield and word of God to guide me. It's a comfort knowing I am not alone. So when I take my final fleeting breath and gently fade into the sleep of death, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me, saved by grace.
Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me home.
No more broken dreams, no more tears to cry. Into my Father's arms I'll fly. Celebrate me home, celebrate me there.
Yes.
Celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare.
Well, I hate to turn that song off, but it is so beautiful. That was a song, by the way, sung at my sweetheart's funeral. And that is the copy from the funeral. And I thank the Branches, friends in Raleigh, North Carolina. And welcome, Open Bible Dialogue. I'm too loud. Let me cut me down. excuse me. Welcome to Open Bible Dialogue, Open Bible Telecast, and Open Bible Radio. And we got a program today that's breathtaking. Miracle of Pentecostal Fire. Miracle of Pentecostal Fire. Now, you know tomorrow is Pentecost Sunday, and so this is Pentecostal weekend. And Thursday morning, we are coming out to the church about 5:30 or 6 to pray for a few hours every day. And it's just been wonderful. And as we were praying, and kindly everybody I think was gone, and I was in, had opened my Bible, and suddenly realized I wanted to do the program today on Pentecostal fire. And then someone told me later in the day that it was Pentecost Sunday, and I didn't know it. But I'm glad, because I like to choose a message that I know came from the Holy Spirit and not just something that fits an occasion. So welcome to Open Bible Dialogue and the message on the miracle of Pentecostal fire. Now, would you really like to learn what Pentecostal fire is all about? You know, Jesus said that he would baptize us with Pentecost, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And you know that John the Baptist announced that it would be a baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. And so the word fire, F-I-R-E, fits perfectly the Bible description of fire. Now, you often like to go in the study of the Bible back to the Greek word that John the Baptist would have used, or that Jesus used, or is used at other times throughout the New Testament. What does fire mean? Well, you know, the first word for the definition of the word fire in the Greek is lightning. Lightning, like lightning from heaven, a streak of lightning. Well, I tell you, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's like a streak of lightning. It really is. I mean, the real baptism of the Holy Spirit, the real feeling. I'm feeling it. I mean, F-I-L-L-I-N-G, the real feeling of the Holy Ghost, the baptism in the Holy Ghost is like a streak of lightning. I remember I was praying at 18 years of age in a tent revival, Glen Raven, North Carolina, about 8 houses from where my wife lived and was raised, born and all. And I received the baptism in that tent. I'd been saved a couple of years and praying for God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And that night, I remember getting down on the sawdust, and I remember saying to God with all my heart, "Tonight is my night. I won't get up until you fill me with the Holy Ghost." And I'll never forget, it won't 5 minutes until I'm there praying and God baptizes me in the Holy Ghost. And I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. I couldn't even talk English decent. I studied with that. But now the Holy Ghost filled me, and I spoke in another language, one that I did not even know, and certainly had never studied it. Still don't know what it was, but I know it was real because it turned my life upward in a manner that I will never forget. So the Pentecostal blessing is a blessing of fire, F-I-R-E. Don't ever forget that. You see somebody who says, "I'm full of the Holy Ghost," and they're dead as a winter night. Don't believe a word they say, because the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not a dead experience. It is a living lightning of fire and anointing that sets upon a believer, and it will change everything about your life. You will never be the same. A Baptist preacher, a man that I have great respect for, he said when he was saved, he received the Holy Ghost. But when he got baptized in the Holy Ghost received him. Now, I love that definition. When he got saved, he received the Holy Spirit. You can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit baptizes you, then he gets you. And you become baptized. You become under his authority. You become under his power. And that is the definite need of the early church. I mean, of the present church, as it was the early church. Now, you may have read on Facebook. And if you listen to Facebook, by the way, please share this right now. I want it to go to hundreds and hundreds of people. That is shared hundreds of times. And that will mean thousands of people that may hear this message. And who knows, their life may be changed. I said today, if you're in a church where there's a Holy Ghost filled preacher full of the fire, the devil's going to do everything he can to get you out of that church. He wants you in a dead church. He don't care if it's a little shout, a little hoopla. He don't care if there's noise. He don't care even if there's good singing. He don't even care if there's decent preaching. There's a lot of good churches as far as decent preaching, but it isn't what they say, it's what they don't say that makes the big difference. And so I'm here to talk about the miracle of Pentecostal fire. The miracle of Pentecostal fire. Now, let me read it to you so that you don't get any doubt that this is just some theology of Joe Chambers. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. It filled the house, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave them utterance. They didn't speak in tongues that they conjured up. They spoke in tongues as the Holy Ghost fed them. As the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. It came from the Holy Ghost. It didn't come out of their mind. And you notice it set upon them like tongues of fire. Now, John the Baptist had said it would be with fire. And Jesus had said it would be with fire. And now we see it was with fire. And you know, that's probably the only church that there's ever been that every member of it received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Every member of it received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And 3,000 got saved the first day. If you'd ever get a church that was perfectly and completely full of the Holy Ghost, you'd have the same thing they had at Pentecost. It would be absolutely breathtaking. It would take away all the powers of hindrance, and it would be a miracle experience. And I'm praying for that. I want to see that in Paul Creek. I really do. But I want to see it everywhere. I'm not a jealous preacher. I don't just want things for... Well, I don't know why I'm coughing today, except the enemy don't like this sermon, because I'm telling, well, this Bible study, but I'm telling you, this is the need of the hour. If the church gets full of the Holy Ghost, it'll turn the city upside down. If the church really gets full of the Holy Ghost. But you always got people who draw back, and they don't want no fire. They want religion. They want to be comfortable in their religion. They don't want to be moved by fire. Well, I'm telling you, this is the greatest experience will ever happen to you. I got so many things to say about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I wrote them down. I didn't want to miss any, and I probably won't get to them. But I want to tell you one thing. There's only one connection. Now listen, you got to hear this. There's only one connection between the church in this world and the Heavenly Father up in heaven. One connection. There's only one connection between this church right here. This is the literal, verbal connection. And the Bible is a connection. And it's wonderful. But the Bible is just dead letter until it gets anointed by the Holy Ghost. Did you know that? The word is wonderful, but the dead letter of the Bible is just dead until the Holy Ghost anoints it. And so the one connection between the church and heaven is the Holy Spirit. He was sent from the Father and the Son who is in heaven. The Father and the Son's at his right hand. He doesn't come down here to give you a miracle. The Holy Spirit is down here to give you a miracle. So that your connection with the Father and with the Son is through the Holy Spirit. So if you don't want the Holy Ghost, then you really don't want to be connected to the Father and the Son. Yeah, you just want to live your life like you please. And that's what most people who are in religious circles want, is to do like they please. They're still caught up in the self life, and they don't want to give up the self life for the Christ life. Self is always going to be full of trouble and disappointments and heartaches and heartbreaks and all kinds of things that go with the flesh. But a Holy Ghost-filled life will give you peace in the midst of the storm. Will give you joy in the midst of the trouble. Will give you life in the midst of the death. I mean, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life, and He will fill you with it. And I pray that I can make you so hungry to be full of the Holy Ghost that you will not be comfortable until God baptizes you. I hope I can make you so thirsty for this living waters that nobody can talk you out of it. And if you're in a good Holy Ghost-filled church, don't let somebody talk you out of that church. Every time somebody new comes here, every time somebody gets saved and tries to settle down, there's somebody begging them out of here, you know, because they don't want them under the auspices of a Holy Ghost-filled fire field. Not just Holy Ghost-filled. People claim the Holy Ghost and don't have no fire. They don't have the Holy Ghost. They just got a ghost, you know. They just got some kind of a spirit. The Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost in fire, and He never comes without coming in fire. Did you hear me? And the word fire means fiery or lightning. Oh, don't that sound wonderful? It does to me. It really does to me. If I could convince you of a Holy Ghost-filled life and could show you that it's abundance, it's abundant living, it's unspeakable joy, it's joy past all understanding, it's peace that passeth understanding. It is such a powerful experience to be Holy Ghost-filled and to live in it. Most people get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and then they don't have pray, and they don't get in their Bible, and it just dwindles until they're just a shadow of what they had maybe a week ago, maybe a month ago, maybe a year ago, and some people 20 years ago. I meet so many people who used to be full of the Holy Ghost, and they're full of a ghost, but it sure isn't the Holy One. I'm telling you, it's a dark day, and we need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's nothing like being full of the Holy Ghost. There is really nothing like it. It's wonderful to be saved. That's first and that's foremost. And nothing surpasses being born again. Nothing surpasses it. But he didn't save you just to leave you there with a new heart and a new life. He saved you and filled you. His Holy Spirit came immediately the moment you were saved. And that's not the filling, but that's the beginning. And the beginning is to lead you to the filling. You're not supposed to slow up, give up, back up. Nothing until you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Every believer is commanded to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Jude, brother of James, said plainly, want to say the word, it didn't come out, but he said, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God, praying in the Holy Ghost. You can't pray in the Holy Ghost till you get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's very sure. Somebody says, do you need to speak in tongues? The Holy Ghost has a language. It's the language of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's an unknown language. The Bible talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. He says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, no man can understand him. No man can understand him, because that's God's language. That's God's language. And when he comes, he fills you with the language, and sometimes it's languages in the world and other places, but then there's the unknown tongue, which is the heavenly language. Oh, when you talk that language, even the devil don't understand your words. Oh, isn't that wonderful to pray, and Satan can't even hear what you're saying. Now, you know, if there's so much to say, because if you have the Holy Ghost, you've got a person of the divine God here that lives within and that rules your life. He's president. He will not stay there if he's not sovereign. If he's not sovereign there, if he doesn't rule, if you're the big bad boss, he'll move on and let you do your own bossing and get your own results. And it isn't very pretty. But if he lives there, it's beautiful. And he abides there. He dwells there. He's the master of your life. And he leads you in everlasting life and everlasting joy. He leads you, well, like the beautiful Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. On and on. The Holy Spirit leads you and guides you and makes your life wonderful. Now, let me tell you something that's so rich. If you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have the healer of your body within. You don't need the doctors and all of their medicine. That's one of the things wrong with our world is they've been fed so many medicines. They've got to take medicine to counteract medicines. They've got to do all kinds of things to counteract the results of what they've already took. Listen to me. If you are full of the Holy Ghost, the healer is inside. The healer is inside. Since my sweetheart died in September, 10 months. Eight months. I've had two major experiences. I fell out here on the sidewalk and could have killed my crazy self. I really hit hard. Never have I had a lick like that. But I got up and I went home and I turned me over to the Lord, begging me to go to the doctors. I said, no way. I'm going to trust in the healer. I have the healer. I don't need to go. And so I trusted the healer. And then I had walking pneumonia a couple weeks ago. That's all we can figure now is walking pneumonia. For a week, I get worse and worse and worse. And finally, I realized I got to have a miracle. And in about 3 days, I had a miracle. Because we serve a mighty God, and Christ is the Christ is the healer, and the Holy Spirit is within to administer everything that Jesus is to me. Everything. Now, you've got to trust him to do this. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. If you pray because you are his, elected of him, you belong to him. The Holy Ghost rules your life. He is the master of your life. Then you have a healer inside. You have a healer inside when you are full of the Holy Ghost. Now the Bible says, and this is important, Romans 8. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's why I said a while ago, the Holy Spirit comes in the moment you are saved. A lot of times Pentecostals and, say, Baptists have argued, when do you receive the Holy Ghost? And one says when you get baptized, one says, baptized with the Spirit, not water, and one says when you get saved. Well, they both are really right. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in. If you really get saved, if you get born again, the Holy Spirit moves in. And that's why a person born again is a new creature. They're not the same they used to be. They don't continue in sin and careless living because the Holy Spirit has moved inside. You can't get away with nothing when he lives in there. I mean, I know from 66 years, he don't let me get by with nothing. He does not, because he lives, he dwells. I am his, I am his. So if you have not the Spirit, then you are none of his. Now, when you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit. But when you get baptized, the Holy Ghost has you. Those were my first 6 points that I wanted to make sure I got to you, because I want you to hear them. When you got saved, you had the Holy Spirit. But when you go on to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, he has you. And you're not safe until you go on, until he has you. You cannot take care of your own spiritual life. You cannot keep yourself on the straight path by your own wisdom. You cannot even understand the great will of God by the insights that you have. You need the Holy Spirit. You need him dwelling in you. You need to be full of him. He needs to be the baptizer of your life. And then he comes in, and you don't just speak English. You can then talk the language of the Father. Oh, what a joy. See, this is the only wireless connection to heaven in the world, and that's praying in the Holy Spirit. You're connected to heaven, and you don't need a telephone, and you don't need a computer, and you don't need an iPhone, and you don't need all the gadgets of this world. I use all them gadgets for the glory of the Lord, but I don't need them for my spiritual life. The Holy Spirit is my direct connection with heaven. Woo! I don't know about you, but I feel what I'm saying, because I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost since I was 18 years of old. 64 years living a life full of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to say something, and I want everybody to hear me, and I want you to think about it. See, I want you to think. I want you to think all the Pentecostals that you know. There's a lot of Pentecostals in the world. There really is. And there's a lot of junk among the Pentecostals. Do you hear me? There's a lot of preachers hadn't even been born again themselves, and they're trying to be a Pentecostal preacher. And there's so many theologies. There are churches that all they do is sing. There's churches that all they do is shout. There's churches that all they do is all kinds of gimmicks. My dear friend, I want you to understand and know without a shadow of a doubt that probably 10-20% of all the Pentecostals who claim the baptism are really full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, I'm not being judgmental. I've watched it for 66 years. And they like a good shout once in a while. They like to feel a little of the Spirit because someone else prayed through or someone else got a touch. But really filled with the Holy Ghost. Really under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Literally his person. They are full of him. Now that is where the need is today. So I'm calling you out of these dead churches. I'm calling you to get somewhere in the church altar and pray that you're full of the Holy Ghost, and God may help you awake your church. I don't know. That's a hard thing to do, is to wake a church. When a church goes to sleep, that's the hardest sleep there is a sleeping church. And so to get them awake and to get them back on fire, you're probably wasting your time in probably 98% of the cases. But maybe a case or two, you're in an area, there's no other where to go. You got to get in there and pray. Get to praying for your pastor. You'll get him. He may run you off, but try it. I mean, I dare you to try it. I think it would be worthwhile. Then call me and tell me all about it, because I want to hear it. And if it really succeeds, I really do want to hear that, because that would be wonderful. So much percentage of Pentecostals are not full of the Holy Ghost. I think about how many people that have come against me with all the fear of their being, and here I am as dedicated to Christ as I know how to be. I mean, I really am. I don't play no games. I don't put on no show. I love this Bible. I live in it. I've got a new Bible, and this is my last one, in my opinion now. I wore out about 20. And so this is my last one, and I wrote in the front. I wanted to make this very plain. Let me see if I can find it. Well, don't know where I'll find it or not. I wrote something up here. Here it is. Probably my last Bible. Probably my last Bible. Well, I prefer that. I'm going to take the better care of it than I've ever taken. I read them. I study them. I dig in them. But this, you know, very likely is my last Bible. And that's okay. That's okay. But I want to tell you now. I want to tell you, I want you to hear me. You make sure you got the real baptism. Don't just sit around half dead and say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost because I spoke in tongue 20 years ago. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, he talks on a regular basis. And if he doesn't talk, he leaves. You know, if you don't let the Holy Ghost be real in you, you don't allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you, praying in the Holy Spirit, singing in the Holy Spirit. You know what impressed me probably the most when I got saved? I was a little Baptist boy, never been born again. I'd been baptized in water, but didn't do anything for me because I didn't know how to repent, and I was never told how to repent. Now, some Baptists do. I'm not putting down Baptists. I'm just telling you my experience. I was desperate. I really was. And so when I got saved, it turned my life upside down. I told somebody that night, I came to church a goat, but I'm going home a sheep. And I've been living it ever since. And it's been wonderful ever since. So when you really get full of the Holy Ghost, it'll change your life. And so don't be one of those Pentecostals just did a pew warmer, okay? I was going to tell you, I remember the first thing that really amazed me in Pentecost. Here I am, a 16-year-old boy, never been around Pentecostal people, never, didn't know anything about it. Couldn't even speak good English, much less anything else. And that was this woman, Sister Feist was her name. And she sat over on the right side of the minister, right, left side of the congregation, and on the second pew at the very end next to the wall. I remember her specifically. And every service or two, she'd begin to sing in the Holy Ghost, singing in another language in the Holy Ghost. And I'll never forget it. It was heavenly music. It was like God had entered that place. And that dear lady, elderly lady, would sing in the Spirit. And it fired me up. I had to have this. I really did. I got to have this experience that makes a lady like her that happy and makes her that much of a blessing and moves the whole congregation. So the Holy Ghost is that wonderful person that will fill you with fire. You can't have the Holy Ghost without fire. If you're just a dead body, you don't have the real Holy Ghost. Now, remember that. If you're just a dead, you just come and sit around and claim, and you can't even pray beyond just a little whisper, and you have no fire in you. Please understand, God wants to give you Holy Ghost fire. He really does. He wants you to have it. And I'm not condemning nobody. I'm just telling you what I know to be the truth. Now, let me go ahead and give you a phone number. You're probably ready to chew me out. Let me hear from you. Pentecostals, Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Catholics, unsaved people. I don't care who you are out there. Give me a call and ask me anything about this wonderful baptism. I'll answer it from the Bible. Now, I'm a Bible man. I'll answer it from the Bible. I really will. 704-391-0588. Let me put up those numbers for the moment. 704-391-0588 and the toll-free 1-800-338-7884. And I'm not going to leave that up long. I want you to get it. Write it down real quick. And then one after the other, you start calling and asking me any question you want to ask me about the Pentecostal fire. And I will do my best. Now, Revelation. To foresee, to understand, to know what the Bible is saying, to be filled with the understanding of truth, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. To have a revelation of the Bible, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, why, Brother Chambers, do I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost to understand the Bible? Because the Bible says that holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost spoke to them word for word and gave them the Bible. The Bible came through the person of the Holy Ghost. Every word of it, from Genesis 1:1 to the book of Revelation 22:22. Every word of the Bible came through the Holy Ghost. So if you truly want a good, great understanding of Scripture, you must have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why I put on the Facebook, if you are a member of a church with a Holy Ghost-filled pastor who has this fire of God in him, don't you let nothing get you out of there. Don't you let nothing take you down the road. You stay in there and listen, because a Holy Ghost-filled man that is truly full of the fire of God will speak the truth to you. And the reason many preachers don't understand the book of Revelation is because they're not full of the Holy Ghost. You go to study in the book of Revelation, and it's almost, you need an interpreter. You need somebody to help you that's really full of the Holy Ghost. So if you are not full of the Holy Ghost or have a pastor that's full of the Holy Ghost, you will never understand the rapture. The reason there's so many out there that are leaving the pre-trib teaching of the rapture before the seven-year tribulation is because they've been listening to somebody that's not full of the Holy Ghost, and they are probably not full of the Holy Ghost, and so they're all confused. They're all out of order. They're all in a mess. The real Holy Ghost will teach you the real truths of the book of Revelation. And don't you ever forget that, my friend. The real presence and ministry of the Holy Ghost will teach you the real truths and the wonderful teachings of the Bible. And if some man begins to teach you something beside what's in this Bible, I don't care how much Holy Ghost he claims. He doesn't have the real Holy Ghost. He doesn't, you say, now be careful, Pastor. Well, let me be careful. Maybe he has the real Holy Ghost, but he don't listen to him. Maybe he don't pray like he should. Maybe he's not consecrated like he should. And so he's got a little baptism, but he hasn't gone deep. He hasn't grown up. He hasn't become spiritual. Well, that is very, very important. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hello, Pastor. I'm enjoying your broadcast today on the Holy Ghost.
Oh, it's wonderful.
And I've been reading in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 19, about the Ephesians that Paul found men at Ephesus, and they had not yet received the Holy Ghost because they did not know about the Holy Ghost. And I'm wondering, what does it take for an individual to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost if they've never heard about it? If they've never been around it, if they've never seen it before, how would a person begin to seek for the baptism of the Holy Ghost for themselves?
That's a good question. Let me take a little bit here and answer. And thank you for calling me, okay? Thank you very much. Now listen, that's a good question. I want to answer. How you've never heard anybody like I'm doing right now teaching you about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. But you know you're saved. First, you got to know you're saved. You got to know you've been born again. Born again. That's really, you got to be born again. And really, the moment you get born again, the teacher, the Holy Ghost, the teacher, comes into your life. And if you're really born again, he's going to begin immediately to inspire you and to move up on your heart. Let's say you've had some habits that you didn't know, you didn't know were unclean. And suddenly you get saved. Immediately the Holy Spirit begins to convict you. If it's, say, smoking cigarettes, most likely you'll quit the moment you get born again. But if you don't, the Holy Ghost will make you so miserable, you'll want to quit. You can't live with the Spirit guiding your life and be tied to tobacco, to wine, to any of that stuff. That's just out of order. Don't claim it. You're a hypocrite if you do. I'm telling you. Don't even dare to claim it. So once you get saved, you know you're born again, then you simply consecrate yourself. Remember that word, consecrate. The Bible talks about being sanctified. I love that word, sanctified. I mean, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Let me read you something. I know I'm not going to finish today, so I'm going to quit worrying about it. And we'll best plan to go next week, okay? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. And let me tell you about this wonderful baptism of the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul was very careful to teach people all about the things of God. He wanted them to have everything of fullness that was in God, and he would teach them. So in the book of 1 Thessalonians, he's teaching the church at Thessalonica, and he says to them, rejoice evermore. He says, pray without ceasing. Listen now, rejoice, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, quench not the Spirit. See, the moment you get saved, you got to yield to the Spirit. The Spirit begins to deal with you, obey it. You feel like praising the Lord, don't let anything stop you. I mean, just obey the Lord. Then he said, despise not prophesying. You'll hear prophesying in a real church, a Holy Ghost-filled church. Somebody will give messages. Somebody will prophesy. Then you prove all things. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And notice that. You want to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Get the world out of your life. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That's W-H-O-L-L-Y. Got that word? Not H-O-L-Y, holy in the sense of morality, but holy in the sense, all of you, sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your spirit, soul, and body will be preserved blameless. Now, you're getting to the point now of being set apart to God, being sanctified before God. You've got the world out of your life. You've quenched evil things. You love spiritual things. You grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now, you're getting sanctified. get in the altar and ask God to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and expect it any moment. Because when you're good and sanctified, you can't keep the Holy Ghost out. Are you hearing me? When you're good and sanctified, you can't keep the Holy Ghost out. The Holy Spirit right now is searching for vessels that are sanctified, searching for believers that give up the world and lay the world aside and clean up their life, clean up the way they dress, clean up the way they talk, clean up the places they go to. You know, get their life pure, abstain from the appearance of evil. Not evil, the appearance of evil. Are you listening? That's in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and the God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now you're ready, and you will receive the baptism. You won't even need but start begging God for it. You just tell God you're ready for it, and yield yourself to Him, and you'll be praising the Lord, and all of a sudden, it'll be in another language. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, I love speaking in the Holy Spirit. I couldn't live without it. It's marvelous. So that's my good instruction. And if you want to know more, come to Paul Creek. I'll tell you more. We'll help you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're dedicated to that purpose. Now, I got so much more here. I know. Call us, please. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Are you calling? Please call. My time's gone. My time's leaving. Now, Revelation, if you are in the church where the pastor is Holy Ghost filled, don't let nothing keep you out of there. If you're in a church and you know your Holy Ghost has no fire, then get out of there. What in the world are you doing staying in a church where you got a pastor that's just a social person, just a good, decent person, I'm sure. He may preach a few little things, but he's not going to get on nothing controversial because he don't want to lose no tithers, you know. You got to keep them tithers. You got to make them happy. Oh, you got to coddle your tithers, you know. Don't give them anything they might spit out. You know I'm kidding with you. You know that. Now, if you're in a church like that, please settle down if you've got a Holy Ghost-filled church. A Holy Ghost-filled life now is a praying life. Now, let's go a little further. Come on, listen to me now. Don't you leave me. Don't you hang up on me. Don't you cut that radio off. Don't you cut off that Facebook. I want you to share it with everybody because I want to help people really get full of the Holy Ghost. Did you know that Jesus promised in the end that there'd be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost and your sons and daughters would prophesy? Your old men would see visions and your young men would know backwards. Your old men would dream dreams and your young men would see visions and He'd pour out His Spirit and everybody that called on Him would be saved. I'm looking for that. It's going to happen either before the rapture or right after. I don't know which it's going to be. The rapture can be in the moment. There's no sign needed for the rapture. There's a lot of signs happening that point to the 7-year end of the tribulation period. But I'm telling you with all the sincerity of my heart, the Holy Ghost will make a prayer warrior out of you. There's something so real about praying. And you haven't really prayed until you pray through. Now, what do you mean pray through, Brother Chambers? I heard a preacher in Charlotte, big name preacher, say in his pulpit, there's no such thing as praying through. You know why he said that? Because he used to be a Holy Ghost-filled Pentecostal and he's backslid. The only way he could dare say that is because he's backslid. I have prayed through for 66 years. And don't you tell me I can't pray through. I prayed through this morning right there in that sanctuary. We're praying through regular in the sanctuary. And what do you mean when you pray through? When you literally become overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. When you likely, not always, you can pray in the Spirit in your own language and be just as anointed. I love to pray with God's anointing when He's pouring burdens on me and I'm praying in English. But then I love it when the Holy Spirit falls on me and I begin to pray in another language. I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost language. You say, that's not biblical. Wait a minute. Don't you say something you don't know what you're talking about. You go right back to Romans chapter 8, and I will show it to you, okay? Is that fair enough if I show it to you? Now listen, here's Paul in Romans 8, and he's talking to believers. He said, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, also helpeth our infirmities. The Holy Ghost helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We know not what we should pray for as we are. But the Spirit, the Holy Ghost itself, The Holy Ghost himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Ghost comes on me and prays in a language that I have no capacity to utter. And he begins to pray through me to God. Straight line to heaven. Straight line heaven. I mean, the president can talk to Putin in Russia. I can talk to Jehovah God in heaven. I got so much on that president, he don't even know how great above him I am. I can talk to the Father in heaven, and he can only talk to Putin in Russia. Listen, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit comes on us, and instead of praying according to my will, he prays according to the will of God. He's praying for me as God knows I need to be prayed for. He's praying through me as God knows the burden of my heart. And there's nothing on the face of this earth that's greater than praying in the Holy Ghost. And you haven't really prayed until you learn to pray through, until the Holy Spirit prays. You know you become a prayer warrior when you can pray and the Holy Spirit becomes so mighty in you that he takes over with your language and begins to speak his language. Now, I plan to do something this week. I'm going down to Waxhaw to their museum. In their museum, they have a section set apart for the Sumerian language. Not the Sumerians now. Sumerians, that's right. Of the Sumerians, that's S-U. Instead of an essay. And in that language was the language before God came down and disturbed them at the Tower of Babel and divided the languages all over the world. It's the original language then. I believe that's the language the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost talks. I believe that's the language you speak when you speak in unknown tongues. And I'm going to go down to study it this week. I'm going to dig into it. I've got some preacher friends, and we're digging because we know when we get to heaven, we'll have an original language. Well, the original language will be the language they spoke in the Garden of Eden until God dispersed the languages at the Tower of Babel. And so I'm telling you, we got so much ahead of us, it's almost overwhelming to think about it. And if you're not involved in it, you need to get involved. Well, that's Romans 8, 26, 27. You ought to read it. You ought to study it. It really is wonderful. Now, a Holy Ghost-filled life, a Holy Ghost-filled life will tremble at the Word of God. Hey, I need another call. Come on now. Call me quickly. Let me offer you this. Now, all these things I'm writing down and I'm going to put them in this article. God's given them to me yesterday. And we're going to put them in this article, A Miracle of Pentecostal Fire. And this is a huge article. It'll be about 14 pages, probably the size of a book. And we'll send it to you free if you'll just call right now to get it. If you want to know more about the Holy Ghost, you need this book. You need this booklet. And you can get several. We've got a lot of material on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can order more. You can get our catalog. So right now, call the ladies here and tell them you want this free booklet, okay? Call it right now, 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. And anybody that wants to call them, give them your address, and then you want to speak to me. I will do my best to answer your question. As you can tell, this is a big subject for me. I've been full of the Holy Ghost 64 years, saved 66 years. I know what I'm talking about. I know exactly what this Bible says, and you will never find me deviating from the Word of God. So a Holy Ghost-filled, fire-baptized person will love the Bible, and they'd rather read the Bible than be on Facebook. Did you hear that? I tell you what, there's Facebook cronies out there. Facebook addicted. There's a multitude of you just addicted to Facebook. And most of what you say is a lot of junk. Most of it is just, you tell people when you go into the grocery store, well, I wouldn't tell nobody when I was going to the grocery store because I don't want them to come invade my house while I'm gone. So you be smart. You be smart. And don't put naked children on there either. It's a shame as many pedophiles out there that mothers have put up little naked babies on Facebook. You're not using your brain. Are you listening to me? Now, the Holy Ghost The Holy Ghost does not fill you. The Holy Ghost fills the Jesus in you. And that goes back to the question the young brother asked me a while ago. The Holy Ghost doesn't fill Joe Chambers. The Holy Ghost fills the Jesus that's taken over the life of Joe Chambers. That's why I said when you get good and sanctified, you can't keep the Holy Ghost out. You can't keep the Holy Ghost out. Let me take a call. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Pastor Chambers, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Can you tell?
Yes, I can. I agree with everything you're saying about the baptism and the Holy Spirit, but there's one thing I wanted to remind your listeners of, especially if there's any unbelievers listening, and that is today on TV they've been showing all this about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's wedding, but it just made me think as I watched her stand there in that white gown that one day there's going to be even a greater wedding coming up, and that people need to make sure that they're going to be a part of that bride.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like when you get up there on that great sea of glass that is a prepared place for this big wedding celebration? I mean, I don't know what kind of royalty. I didn't see all that wedding. I don't have time for it. But the royalty of that wedding yesterday doesn't even compare an iota to the royalty of that wedding in the sky. Are you listening to me?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, that yeah, she's a beautiful bride, and it was a beautiful ceremony this morning.
Rabbi Sackler, Randy Kotibosibi. Oh, I feel this Holy Ghost all over me. I can't wait till then. I can't wait. I've been telling God I got to have my wife back, or I got to go where she is. But I don't want to leave my wonderful families. You know, it's overwhelming. That's going to be special, brother.
Oh, yeah. So I just wanted to pass that on and remind people that, yeah, this was a big, big event. It was a much, much, much.
And you need the Holy Ghost to go in the rapture. Did you know that?
Amen.
You need the baptism. It's the Holy Ghost that transports us out of here. You don't go in your power. You go in the power of the Holy Ghost.
That's exactly right. And so,
I mean, there's no other power to go in but the power of the Holy Ghost. Angels and the Holy Ghost, only power between here and heaven. You know, and so you either go in the power of the Holy Ghost or angels carry you. And the Bible makes it plain. Well, let me quote you a scripture. If the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead, that's the Holy Spirit. If the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal. Notice the word mortal. That's the earthly body. Quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. It'll be the Holy Spirit that quickens your body and enables you to go up through that sky.
And you know something, just one thing. I'm going to let you go because I know you have other callers. But one thing, when Jesus told the 12 to remain in Jerusalem until they receive power from the Father, I can't understand when I really thought about that. For some reason, I've been Christian since I was 17 and I'm 63. But it just hit me here a while back. You know, you don't hear anybody preach the fact that that's part of being, you're to get saved, then you're to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, because he said that's the power. That's the power.
That's the power. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, if I could convince everybody out there, I'm going to be preaching a lot of sermons on miracles, and I'm making an album available, getting it ready to make 14 different sermons and OBDs available in an album. We've got to get people thinking about the miracle of the transformation of a dead body in a tomb and raised up to fly up through the sky is not something in the flesh. It's in the spirit.
Exactly. And that's where our power is to work down here. And then people say, well, that was just for the disciples. No, Jesus, the disciples were our example, and Jesus said, wait till you receive power. So we're all to receive that baptism.
He said it. I mean, when Peter said, you know, Peter answered the question about being full of the Holy Ghost, he said, the promise is unto you and to your children and to as many as are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Anybody that claims to be a preacher or claims to be a teacher that's not full of the Holy Ghost is infringing in something they have no business in. They need to go somewhere and pray through till God fills them with the Holy Ghost. And they say, well, I've sought the Holy Ghost. Well, your problem is you probably need to get self-sanctified. You've got an old flesh that rules your life. You do everything you want to do like you want to do it, when you want to do it. You'll violate the Sabbath day. You'll live for everything the world's got instead of living for what Jesus has got. He can't fill that with the Holy Ghost.
Exactly. And like I say, that's the power for all Christians to go out and to minister, is the Holy Spirit. And so anyway, I just wanted to pass those couple of things along to you and to your listeners, and praise God. You have a blessed day, and I love hearing your program.
Yeah, I love being here doing it. God bless you. God bless you. Now, call quickly. 1-800-338, 15 minutes ago, 14 minutes ago. Let me say it again, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. 1-800, anywhere in America, Canada, 1-800-338-7884. Now, call quickly, and I got more. Oh, man, I got more. I want to get to this. The Holy Ghost does not fill you. Remember, he fills the Jesus that's taken over your life. That's why you got to be born again. You got to receive Christ into your life. You got to let Christ become the Lord of your life. And then he'll fill the Jesus in you. The Christ life that you have become part of, that's the sanctified life. That's when self's dead. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, Paul said this, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, you get that crucified place of living, you'll be the happiest man you've ever been. It's abundant life. It's full of joy. It's peace that passeth understanding. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. You'll be shouting when the rest of the people are pouting. You'll be praising God when everybody else is gloomy. I mean, it's real. It's real. I tell you, I know it's real. And I'm going to be preaching on this tomorrow, right here in this sanctuary. And if you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you come and we'll pray with you tomorrow. We'll pray with you tomorrow. Now, we will tell you plainly, get that old life on the altar, and Jesus will get ready to fill you. Well, I got to go to this. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Oh, yes. Pastor Chambers?
Yes.
You think that I'm kind of ridiculous, but I have a question in regard to the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
If a person grieves the Holy Spirit, how do they repent? What's the proper way to repent and make it right to get forgiveness? Like, do you go the way of Calvary through Christ to the Heavenly Father asking repentance?
You're saying your own answer. Yes, yes. If you've grieved the Holy Spirit, he's perfectly ready to forgive you. Now, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there's no forgiveness for that. But that's all the way down the road. That's down the road when you've been mean as a snake and you've told God you don't want nothing to do with him and you've resisted him and you rejected him and you've laughed at him and you put down Pentecostal people. You can blaspheme the Holy Ghost. But if you blaspheme him, he will leave you and you will have no interest in him. And anybody that has an interest like you've got has not done that. You've only grieved him. So you repent. Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me of grieving you, of quenching you, and I will never do it again. Commit yourself to Christ, claim the cleansing of the blood, and he will wash you as quickly as you say those words genuinely.
So you go to Christ, you don't ever go to the Holy Spirit directly?
You'd never go directly to the Holy Spirit under no circumstance. You always go to God the Father through the name of the Son. All prayers are directed to God, and you pray in the name of Jesus, by the blood.
Sure. Okay, got it. Thank you very much.
You got it now.
Yes.
You going to do it?
Yes, sir.
Glory. God bless you, sweet lady. Hey, keep calling. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. Hey, I want to, there's so much about the Holy Ghost. I mean, he's a comforter. I never have got to that yet. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I will send you another comforter. You know what a comforter is? He's somebody that comes up and wraps their arms around you. And they don't just wrap their arms around you physically. They wrap their arms around you spiritually. That's the Holy Spirit. And he comforts you. Yeah. My wife died on September the 10th. I buried on the 14th of September. Been 8 months now, a little over. And I grieve so much regular. I nothing could have ever happened to me that would bring so much grief to my heart. I've sobbed. I walked through a Trader Joe yesterday trying to get my groceries and tears running all over my cheeks and dropping down on my clothes. I couldn't help it. I tried to hide it. I didn't make any big to do out of it. But I grieve over her. I grieve over losing her. But the Holy Ghost comforts me. If I didn't have the comforter, I couldn't survive. I wouldn't sit here and put on no show for nothing you could ever ask me if I didn't have the comforter who's comforted me and helping me survive. And I will make it. And I will be on this road to the end of my journey. And maybe I'll get better. Or maybe I'll get worse. I don't know which will happen. But I know what one thing will happen. The Comforter. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He will comfort me, and he will love me, and he will come near to my soul, and he will lift me over the shadows. He's everything I need. Did I lose my caller? Are you there? I'm sorry. Great day in the morning. Well, I'm sorry. I just get all excited because I've got the Comforter. I want you to know he's there. He's right there. He's inside. He's moving up and down the avenues right now. He's wonderful. He's more than wonderful. Praise the name of the Lord. I got to go on. Hallelujah. I'm so glad God led me to this subject today. Hallelujah. You see, you got to understand, when I got saved, I was ignorant. I couldn't even read. I learned to read with the King James Bible. Somebody says you've got to be educated to read the King James Bible. Somebody lied to you. Somebody's trying to get you out of that old absolute Bible. They want you in one of these unauthorized, literal, what are they? They're lies in many cases. They don't want you in this real Bible. And they'll do anything. They really will. But I got saved, couldn't read, couldn't write. I mean, I was stuttered so bad, I used to say, the doctor tipped my tongue, but till tain't talk no better. Well, I got saved and got in the Bible, and the Holy Ghost began to teach me. And the Holy Ghost began to make it real to me, you know, and it just got more wonderful and more wonderful. I got a book almost finished. It's my number 11, and I can't finish because my eyes have just degenerated so badly. Would you pray for God to heal my eyes? Every one of you out there, pray for God to heal my eyes and to heal my ears, because I'm just wearing it out. I mean, that's all I know to say. 82 years old, and I wore the we used to say the Dickens as a boy. I wore the Dickens out of it. You know, I really have, because I've built churches after church after church. I've got $10 million worth of church construction behind me. $10 million. And every penny of it is paid for right now. We finished paying for ours recently. $10 million worth of church construction. I drew the plans. I did the architect work. I dug the ditches. I did most of the carpentry. I run cranes to hang steel. I mean, you name it. I did it, and I loved it. I'm not complaining. I'm excited. Woo! I've got a reward waiting me. Hey, I'm about to talk too much. I want to talk about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, we'll bring this up again next week, and we'll go into the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you something about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I won't get in the details today. I'll do that next week. But the gift of the Holy Ghost, there is more wisdom and knowledge the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost. More wisdom and knowledge in the gifts of the Holy Ghost than there is in all the universities and all the seminaries and the theological centers of the whole globe. Are you hearing me? There is more wisdom in the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost, wisdom and knowledge and faith and discerning of spirits and tongues and interpretation of tongues and miracles and gifts of healing. Don't you tell me there's more wisdom in the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and there's nine gifts, and there's more wisdom in them than in all the universities and theological centers of this whole world. There is no doubt about that. The gifts of the Holy Ghost is God's wisdom fed into a Holy Ghost-filled saint. God's wisdom, God's knowledge, God's instruction, God's direction. It is so breathtaking until it is overwhelming. Now, I got about 5 minutes. Do I have any calls? I'm preaching this subject in the morning, the miracle of Holy Ghost fire, the miracle of Holy Ghost fire. In the morning, right here in the sanctuary, if you want to be in the presence of the sweet work of the Holy Spirit, I think you can depend on it. I think you can trust in it because the power of the Holy Spirit is real. We have never prayed as much as this church is praying. We want to see people saved. We believe in God. Every enemy we've ever had, we believe in God to fix it and clean it up and to forgive them and to break the powers of all of this darkness and this grief and the criticism. We love everybody. We don't hate anybody. I've been treated like a dog by people. But you think I'm going to get mean about it and be ugly? No, I'm going to forgive them and bake them a cake or make them a pie or do something nice for them. I ain't going to be ugly because it's all in God's hands. All in God's hands. Oh, He will take care of us to the end of the road. Are you with me? Now, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Remember the word fire? In the Greek, it means lightning. Now, you can't get no greater than lightning. A streak of lightning can burst a tree wide open. I've seen many of them. A streak of lightning can hit a building and set it in flames. A streak of lightning can hit a tree and kill horses and cows under the tree. How many times has that happened as a farm boy? I mean, we're talking about the power of lightning. And the Holy Ghost fire is definition in the Greek, lightning. Lightning. Are you hearing me? I never heard that definition until I found it this week in the Greek language. That fire, Holy Ghost fire, is Holy Ghost lightning. And so you mess with a Holy Ghost filled man, you better pray. You better turn him over to God. Let God take care of him. We are in the time of the end, my friend. And I know the time is leaving. Got about 2 minutes. I would love a call. I'd like somebody who really wants to be saved. And I'm telling you, when you really get under the move of the Holy Spirit, it will convict you of sin. Anything the Holy Spirit does that's more powerful than anything else probably is convicts people of sin. Can I read that to you? I got time for that. Let's go to the book of St. John. The book of St. John. And let me read it to you. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you from the Father. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin." He will reprove. That means convict the world of sin. There is nothing the Holy Spirit does more powerful than he convicts you of sin. Your church needs the moving of the Holy Ghost to get the sin out of the elders and to get the sin out of the pulpit and to get the sin out of the members and to get the sin out of the congregation. He will reprove them of sin. And then the Bible says he will speak to you of sin. He will then speak to you of righteousness. You want to know how to live? Let the Holy Spirit come in. Give yourself to him. He'll teach you the straight and narrow. He'll teach you the wonderful ways of the Lord. He's mighty. He's mighty to save. He's mighty to save. Well, we'll get back to that. Time's got to go. It's been a joy. Man, have I had a joy this week, this day. I mean, bringing you this message has been thrilling to my heart. I love you. The Pentecostal fire. The miracle of Pentecostal fire. Your church needs the miracle of Pentecostal fire. If you're in a church that don't believe in the Holy Ghost, you need to go find you a church. I'm telling you, you need to go find you a church, and you need to do it quickly, okay? God bless your heart. I love you. I love you much. I'll go back to that song. I'll probably back it up a little bit because I want you to hear more of it, okay? So let me back it up a little bit. Now here. I love you.
No
I love
more
you
tears
much.
To cry. Into my Father's arms I'll fly. Celebrate me home. Celebrate me there. Celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place. Celebrate me, saved by grace. Don't just